Worship team come in here at 8:45 every Sunday morning and gather up here and pray together and talk about their week and get their spirits together, and then they go through a rehearsal to be ready to lead us in worship. Why do they do that? Why do they stay after for an hour after every service, after everybody else leaves? They're still here, and our creative team is still working, preparing for the next 2 weeks to lead us in worship. Why do they do that? Why do our children's volunteers, our children's leaders, why do they prepare all week long to be downstairs with our children? And by the way, let me just say this to you. We are getting ready on September the 1st to launch a brand new children's ministry. Everything's going to change. The downstairs is going to look totally different. And we're going to have just some amazing, and we've got some amazing people that are jumping on board and going to do some remarkable things. But why do they do that? Why does Matt spend hours every week preparing these visuals for us so that we have something nice to look at? And not that I'm not nice for you to look at, but you know what I'm saying. You see how they treat me, Daniel? So, you know, why does he do that? Why does Tammy spend hours putting it all into our computer system to be prepared for things to run smoothly? Why does Rick come in and mow every week and make sure, and why do our cleaning crews come in here and make sure the building is very clean for us? And then finally, yeah, why do you, or maybe most importantly to you, why do you get up on your only day off? Some of you, I know. Why do you get up? The only day you have where you could sleep in, maybe, where you could just relax, where some people probably are still sitting in their pajamas, and you could have done that. Why do you get up, and why do you come in to do that? You know, why do you bring an offering? Why do you take some of your hard-earned money that's very precious to you and you don't have any extra of? At least I don't think anybody has any extra. But if you know, why do you put that in an offering plate here? And why do you invite your friends? Why do you invite your family to come and share this with you? I'll tell you why. Because we were made to connect with one another. There's something inside of it genetically, our DNA. It's God created it and put it in our DNA. We have a need to connect with one another. It's why there are, I don't know, 15 people or so signed up for Laura's Craft Night. You know, something like that. I mean, just things like that. There's something within each one of us that knows that we need to connect with other people. We you know, deep down we all know something. We all know that we're not designed to connect with something, but rather someone. Or many someones. Look, I'll talk about this more in 2 weeks in a series I'm going to be beginning next week. We've known this since we were kids. You know, when you were a child, it didn't matter what thing you had to play with. It mattered who the people were that you had to play with, right? I mean, we would go out in our backyard. If we had dirt clods and sticks and, you know, and rocks to throw at each other, that's all we needed. You know, I just needed the right who's in my life. It didn't matter what the what's were in my life. And, you know, that really doesn't change as we become adults. You know, Tom is on security, I think, this morning. But Tom this week had people come out and they played poker at his house. You know, for chips, and so nobody lost their lunch money. But he had a bunch of men, and I think there were 8 or 9 men that came out and had a great time. And Ken, I'll just go ahead and let everybody know that you won, and you won big. Yeah, you're welcome. Look, whether it's poker, you know, you don't play that by yourself. You know, and you know, bowling. Again, Tom's not here, but John, you know, John, when you bowled, you didn't go bowling by yourself, right? You didn't. You bowled on a team. You bowled in a league, because it really wasn't so much about the bowling as it was about being a part of some people's lives. You know, and our softball team. You know, it's not about the softball. In fact, it's really not about the softball at all. Thank you. It just wouldn't be church at New Hope if somebody didn't flip me off in the morning. So it wasn't Kizzy this time. It wasn't. It was not Kizzy this time. So, okay, if I say it wasn't Kizzy, they all know it was Josh. You don't have to say that. On this side of the sanctuary. Now, on this side, it's a crapshoot on this side. So it could have been anybody. But look, you know, we my wife just went, oh. He said crapshoot. It's actually going to get worse today. So, look, this is why we do it. Because God made us that way. God made us to want to be with each other. And, you know, even video games. I was talking to Josh about video games this week and asking him what it is that he's got a group that he plays with on Thursday nights. It's actually a Dungeons & Dragons thing that they play. And, you know, and again, they don't have a, it's not fancy. It's basically they're just talking to each other. But they do it every Thursday night and have a great time, don't you? You know, but video games. Today, people play online video games because it's not like it used to be where you would just go and play, you know, an arcade thing. Because if you didn't have anybody with you, it's really just not the same, is it? You know, people have this need to be together. I got to thinking, I'll talk about John again. For golf, or bowling. You see, so John's bowled how many 300 games? Five of them. Tom's bowled a couple of 300 games. You know, that is a big, big deal to them. That's a big deal, isn't it? Now, I bowl 300 all the time. All I have to do is play five or six games, and I'm good. I guarantee I'll have that many. But they bowled some 300 games. But can you imagine if they were by themselves? I mean, think about it. Or worse yet, John, what if you're out on the golf course? And, you know, or Daniel, what if we're out on the golf course and you're standing on a par three, and I mean, you watch that ball just go, and you're by yourself, dink, 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 and roll right in the cup. Can you imagine getting a hole-in-one with no witnesses? That's like the worst thing. You say that. You don't have any proof. There's no witness. God? Okay, let's ask him. Let's just ask him, big mouth. God, did John, if John hit a hole in one, turn the lights off?
Yes.
Yeah, see, he's not with you, man. He's not with you. So look. You can imagine, see, the joy in that is not in even hitting the hole in one. It's in the people you're with. It's in enjoying that with somebody. You know, you can ask my wife. I rarely watch football games on TV. And because there's just not any, because you're all Browns fans, and I've watched, you know, I only watch real games. I only watch real teams. And so I have nobody to watch them with. No, look, seriously. I don't even watch the Super Bowl a lot of times because if I'm by myself or it's just me, because, you know, she doesn't want any part of that. What? Shut up. So, you know, but there's something about being together with people, isn't there? You see what I'm saying? There's a part of us that knows. That's where life happens. You know, whether it's poker or euchre or some of you play bridge. Do you know what solitaire is? You know, we're talking about cards. You know what solitaire is? Solitaire is just simply a time. People who play solitaire, look, it wouldn't hurt you for anything in the world. But why do people play solitaire? To kill time. To kill time before they go to bed. Before they get up the next day and go to work. And they come home. Why do people watch hours and hours and hours of TV, usually? And, you know, things like that. You know, See, and when we do things like that by ourselves, we're really just killing time. We're just waiting for something of value in our lives. Are you with me? Again, I don't mean to hurt anybody. And if you're kind of a loner, and I get it. Look, that's why people have pets. People have pets, and they love their pets because that's companionship. That's somebody to spend time with. And people who have pets and love their pets, they love their pets as much or more than they love their families. Especially if you know some of their families. It's not a stretch at all. So you know, and this is kind of where it is. This is why we have schools, and, you know, because we know that children need to not just learn things, but they need to be in schools where they can associate. Even homeschoolers, even parents who homeschool and do it well, they realize this. That's why they form cooperatives and they get together with others so that their children can interact and have some ones in their lives. Because we know that we need this. Hobbies and sports and even political things. You know, there's such things like the John Birch Society and places like that and organizations like that. People get together who have the same skill sets. You know, our tractor pole people. Harold and AJ is sick today, so Harold can't be here, but Billy's here. And they got a whole crowd that does the tractor pole thing because they've got these skills. And by the way, this fall, Billy is going to hold a welding group. He's going to teach some people to weld. And you know who his first student's going to be? My wife. No, not me. I'm too dumb to do that. My wife. See, you didn't know that about her. She has always wanted to learn to weld. And so she's going to be out there and a few others. And so it's just this thing of being together. Now, these are all things that connect us. Obviously, we could talk about family, and I could talk about a lot of things. But Jesus knew how important this was, and he led us by example. You know, when Jesus called what we call his 12 disciples, there actually were lots of disciples, the 12 that were kind of the ones he personally brought in, we would, you know, you would kind of think that when he's going to call these 12 to be his inner circle, you would think, well, they're all going to be kind of the same kind of people. No, not at all. You know, the first four he called were fishermen. And, you know, and so you had Peter and Andrew and James and John. You realize they were actually competitors. They were both fishermen, separate fishing businesses. And so they were both catching fish and trying to sell them to the same customers. And he brought them together because he said, you know what, you all need to be together for a different reason. You need to be together. And he taught them how to connect with each other, even though they were kind of business enemies. You know, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, try to understand, when I say tax collector today, I mean, where's a tax collector on your scale of, you know, the people you like? Pretty far down? You know, none of us like the IRS and all of that, but it's a whole different world of hatred they had for the tax collectors in the Bible days. You see, they were the lowest of the low. They were considered to be traitors of their own people and cheats and thieves, and it would be like if Jesus came to town here and he started calling different people, and one of the people that he called was the drug dealer selling fentanyl to children outside the elementary school. That's how they viewed a tax collector. It was that bad. And Jesus said, but you know what? There is a way that even you can connect with them. And so Jesus taught us this by example. In fact, everybody that Jesus reached, he first made a different kind of connection with them. So that's what I want to talk about today. So how did Jesus connect? Let me talk to you about how he connected with everybody. We would probably think, most of us, well, he connected with them in the temple. No, he did connect with the people in the temple, but he connected with them down by the river. You know, he connected with them up on a mountain. He connected with them over a meal in somebody's home. He connected with them wherever he found them. In the marketplace, you know, on the side of the road. He connected with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had climbed up a tree. Now you got that song going in your head, don't you? Anybody who's been a child in VBS or in Sunday school, you have that song going through your head. See, he connected with people kind of where they were, you know, in homes. He connected oftentimes over food. And what was it that he really did with them? Most of the time, he just sat down and talked with them. He just sat down and he talked with them. And so I want to talk about some things that Jesus talked about with the people that he connected with. So let me give you a list of some things. These are some of the things Jesus talked about. So Jesus talked about fish and he talked about fishing. You know, he would talk about, you know, how to catch fish. He did the same thing that you and I always do. What is the one question when you come upon somebody's fishing, somebody's sitting on the bank and they're fishing, or a boat goes by slowly while you're walking along the lake and they're fishing? What is the question that everybody asks? They say, catch anything? That's what Jesus did. His disciples have been out fishing all night long. And the first thing he said was in the morning when he saw him, he said, did you catch anything? And they said, no. Same thing that we would. No, they're not biting. And of course, if you know the story, there's more to it than that. He told them to throw the net on the other side, and they caught a whole bunch of fish and so on. But he just talked to them about fishing. He talked to them about fish. One time he talked to Peter about a fish. He said, Peter, just drop a hook in the water. What do you mean drop a hook in the water? He said, just drop a hook in the water. And he dropped a hook in the water, and a fish came up. And he said, by the way, that fish has got a coin in his mouth. Jesus did some crazy things, but he didn't start by saying, Peter, I want to teach you a very sound spiritual lesson. Let me quote from the book of Isaiah for you first, and I'm going to do a three-point study with you. No, he said, throw a hook in the water. He said, did you catch anything? Jesus just talked about it. He talked about fish. He talked about fishing. He talked about the weather. What is the thing that everybody, when you're, it's this thing that it's almost like human nature when you're standing in line and there's a long line of people and you feel like you have to talk to the person next to you or you have to talk to the person in front of you. What do you go to? What's the go-to topic of conversation? Some weather we're having. Hot enough for you? There are these stupid things that we say. But Jesus talked about the weather. He said, look, you know, you see that sky. You see that sky and you see that red. You know what that means. You know there's rain coming. You know this. He talked about the weather with people. What's next? He talked about trees. You know, he talked about fig trees. One time he even cursed a fig tree. And he said, look, you don't have any figs now. You're never going to have any figs. He cursed it. He circled around, though, later with his disciples, and he came back to that. And he said, let me tell you a story about a man who had a fig tree that wouldn't produce any fruit. And he said, and his gardener asked him if he could dig around it and fertilize it and all this kind of stuff. See, he came back around to it, but he just talked about trees. He talked about fig trees. He talked about olive trees. You know, he talked about, why? Because everybody knew about olive trees then. See, we don't know trees today, but people then did, because everybody needed olives and olive trees. It was like the number one. It was like gas and oil for us. That's what they used for everything. So they knew about that. He talked about mustard trees. He talked about mustard seed. Now for us, it doesn't mean a lot. You know, we think, oh, what's the big deal of mustard seed? I've heard that. Faith is a mustard seed, can move a mountain, blah, blah, blah. But see, the people of the Bible, the people that Jesus was interacting with, they knew how tiny a mustard seed was. We only know mustard from what we squeeze out of a bottle, but they understood the seed part of it. They got that part. He was just talking to them about things that they already knew. And he didn't start with sin. He didn't start with heaven. He didn't start with hell. He didn't start with teaching them some spirit. He said, hey, let's talk about mustard seeds. Let's talk about olive trees. Next, he talked about buried treasure. He said, hey, let me give you an illustration. So here's kind of the thing, here's what I'm all about. There's this field that's got buried treasure. You know, if you know that story, he talked about buried treasure. Next, what's next? Help me, guys. He talked about wayward sons and wayward sound booth operators, you know, that aren't at their post when they're supposed to be. He talked about wayward sons. He talked about, you know, spoiled brats. He said, you know, this guy had two sons, and one was just a spoiled brat, and the other one was worse, and so on. He talked about weddings. He talked about brides. He talked about grooms. And he talked about bridesmaids. And he talked about grooms. He talked about things that people understood, and that's where he started. He started a conversation with them. Next, he talked about horses, and he talked about donkeys. He talked about dogs. He talked about birds. And he talked about sparrows and eagles and all this. He was talking to people about things. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. These are all the things Jesus started conversations over. This is what he talked about when he would meet people at out the river, when he would meet people at somebody's house, when he would meet somebody. This is what he talked about. Next, he talked about weapons. All right, so he knew his crowd. So he knew the crowd that would want to talk about weapons. He talked about swords, and he talked about, you know, and he related that. He talked about knives and shields, and he talked about war, and he talked about methods of going to war, and he talked about how you got to plan for war. And he talked about these things that people were interested in. Next, he talked about how many hairs there are on your head and how many aren't. And he talked about the dirt between your toes. That's why he washed people's feet. See, he talked about all these. He talked about this real stuff. Next, he talked about food and he talked about wine. He even made some wine, and he made some very good wine. In fact, he said, my wine's better than your wine. And he was right. He talked about this stuff. He talked about kind of foods people like and wine. Do you see the things that Jesus talked about are the things that we talk about? We just talk about, he was just talking to people. Time out. I need to preface this because some of you are going to get really upset with me because what I'm about to talk about, you're going to say, I cannot believe that you talked about it in church. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus talked about it. All right, let me just give you, in fact, I'm not even going to tell you, I'll let Jesus tell you. We're talking about things Jesus talked about. We're real here. All right, so watch this verse that Jesus wrote. Jesus said, don't you understand that everything you eat goes in, some of you are fast readers. He said, everything you eat goes through your mouth, goes through your belly, and is expelled out into the sewer. Jesus talked about poop. He did. He did. I didn't say it. He said it. Well, I said it, but he said it first. Look, do you know how much kids like to talk about poop? They do. That's what they like to talk about. Jesus would have gotten along just fine downstairs with our children. They would have listened to every word he said because he talked about stuff like this. Look, my point is, he talked about life. He talked about life. Jesus was not this, you know, holy, you know, shining angel-like being that came down and talked only about Scripture. He didn't just quote Scripture. He didn't just talk about spiritual truths all the time. He talked about all these things. He talked about marriage. He talked about divorce. Next, he talked about marriage. He talked about divorce. He talked about love. He talked about hate. You know, he talked about these things that you know, we live. And he was really just sort of talking about life. He talked about sex. He talked about health. He talked about life. And he talked about death. Now, because Jesus knew the value of people connecting with people, not just at church, and not just about spiritual things, not just about Scripture, he talked to them about their lives. You see, anybody who came to Jesus back in those days, they came because he cared about their lives, their physical lives first. Amen. And he proved it because he talked about it. He asked them about their work. He asked them about these different things and so forth. So let me, before time gets away from me here, let me kind of take a peek at my notes here so we don't lose our way here. Now, here's my question. Let me just cut right to this. So here's my question. If this is how Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, is that maybe the best way to do it? Yeah, I mean, if this is how Jesus connected with people, Chad, should we maybe consider this is the way we ought to connect with people? I mean, okay, let me just ask this. Does Jesus know what he's doing? Does anybody here think that Jesus probably had a better idea than you and I have? If Jesus says, this is how I did it, but you know what? It's your church, you do what you want. Wait a minute. Jesus is never going to say it's your church, is he? Why? Because it's not our church. He said, it's my church. Why don't you try it my way? Why don't you try it my way? Why don't you try connecting with people about life? And then maybe you'll get to connect with them about eternal life. Amen. See, this is what Jesus, I think, is trying to teach us. This is why our sign out front says only Jesus, because so much of Christianity has gotten away from the way Jesus did things. We've gotten away from the concept of getting out and talking about people's lives and just talking with them, making a personal connection first. We think, bless you. Some of you, I'm telling you, I seriously think it's Michael blowing that trumpet. And I'm still here, and so are all of you. So those of you who understand end time, you get that. Some of you are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. That's okay. Don't worry about it. But look, I mean, maybe we ought to consider doing it his way, making connections with people outside of church. Amen. Outside of church. You say, well, we need to build the church. The church, I'm going to show you here in a little bit with some scripture. The church isn't built inside this building because this building is just a building. This building is a building that's frankly too small for our church. You wouldn't know it today, but it is. You know, but that's okay. We're working that out. But my point is, that's not how Jesus wanted it done. And so I want to, you know, that's what we're talking about today. So if Jesus knew best, then he knew that we need to be making life connections. And so we're going to do some new things here at New Hope. I'm actually going to share with you now something that is going to be brand new here. We're actually no longer having a Wednesday night Bible study. We're not having a Wednesday night Bible study. Now, hang on. We'll still be here Wednesday night. Amen. But now, look. How many of you, Ken, I appreciate so much your candid comment to me. No, seriously, you're one of many. How many of you have people that if you said, hey, would you like to come to a Bible study with me on Wednesday night? And they say, of course, I would love that. No, they say, no. You know why? Because they don't realize there's any value in Bible study for them. Now, do we need to study the Bible? Of course we do. We're always going to study the Bible. But we're not going to have a Wednesday night Bible. We're not going to call it this anymore. Let me show you with you what New Hope from now on is going to call our midweek get-together time. It's called Connexus. Yes. Connexus. Do you get it? I hope you get it. See, because we're going to talk about what connects us. What connects us together? See, there are things that connect people. There are things that connected some of us. There are some of us, some of you in this room, the first time I met you, there was a connection, and we're still figuring out what it is. And I'm not going to start naming names, I may start calling names, but I'm not going to name names. But look, there's some of you, and some of you are that way too. I mean, the first time you met somebody, there was a connection there. So what is it? Well, there's a lot of ways that Jesus, as I said, Jesus connected with people in a lot of ways. So I titled this message, "What Would Jesus Be Doing Today?" Don't you think Jesus would be doing the same thing today if he came that he did 2,000 years ago? He would be connecting with people. So what kind of things would Jesus be doing today? Or what would Jesus be talking about today? If Jesus were here today, what would he be talking about? Well, he'd be talking about sports. He'd be talking about sports. If Jesus were here today, what would he be talking? He'd be talking about sports. He'd be talking about the Buckeyes, right? He'd be talking about football. He'd be talking about the Steelers. All right, I'm gonna lob one to our guest. He'd be talking about the Falcons, right, Daniel? He could care less about the Cowboys. Don't believe anything the world tells you. He doesn't care about the Cowboys. But look, he'd be talking about sports. He'd be talking about sports. You know, if that's what he would be talking about today. He'd be talking about hobbies. You know, he'd be talking about the things that you all like to do. He'd be talking about believe it or not, he probably would be talking about the craft night that Laura's having. He'd be talking about these kind of hobby things that people like to do. He'd be talking about cars. You say, well, I don't think Jesus would talk about cars. How do you know what Jesus would talk about? Why are you arguing with me anyway? Look, he talked about horses and chariots back in the Bible days, right? The people he had there, those were their cars. He'd be talking about cars. He'd be talking about, he would weigh into the whole Ford, Chevy, Dodge thing. Right? He would get right into that. And you know, he'd be talking about, he would get together with our gearheads, and he'd be talking all kinds of stuff with them about that, and he would understand what they're talking about, and they would understand him. He'd be talking about tractor poles, and he'd be talking about motorcycles. Right, Dave? Yep. He'd be talking about Harleys. He would sit and love to hear Dave talk about the Harley he just test rode not too long ago. He would be super comfortable with a motorcycle club. And by the way, I have said for years I'd like to have a motorcycle club at our church. I don't know why. I just think it's cool. We've already been the only church to meet in a 5-star gun range, you know, which automatically makes us the coolest church anywhere. And I mean, second to that would be to have a motorcycle club. So Dave, work on that, would you? And because Jesus would be talking about this stuff today. Next, what else would Jesus be talking about? He'd be talking about gaming. Those of you gamers, how many of you video gamers are out there? And the rest of you don't want to admit it. Okay, he'd be talking about that. Now he might get into it, and he would be comfortable in getting in with that with you and sit with you. He might say, look, I think this is great. I love to have fun. You know, some of the language, some of the issues, some of the things going on. He would weave into that some of the things that he found to be not good, but he wouldn't start there. Why do we start there? Let me tell you something. You know why we don't have any teenagers much? Why we only have a handful of teenagers here? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have a PS4 downstairs for them to play. If we did, they could play for 45 minutes, and they knew they got to do that. Then they would be. And they understood. Okay, then somebody who really cares about you is going to sit down and talk with you about the things that you're into. The things that you're into. Well, that went over real big. Somebody's saying, and that bringing video games into the church. Not your call. No offense. Not your call. You know, it's because that's what connects people. That's exactly right. That's what connects young people. And again, those things don't change, you know, when we get older. Now we have a lot of adult gamers in here. Still understand the value of being connected with each other and, you know, and all this. He'd be talking about that. He'd be talking about gaming. He'd be talking about music. He'd be talking about movies. You know, he might not talk about all the movies that maybe we do, but he'd be talking about movies because this is a part of our culture. This is what the kind of things he talked about 2,000 years ago, whatever the equivalent of movies were back then, he talked about it with people. You know, he talked about one time he said, he was talking about, he said, look, he said, you know, he said, and you know what your problem is? He said, your problem is there are musicians playing for you in the streets and you won't dance because you're a fundamental Baptist. Oh, sorry. What was I thinking? That just slipped out. That's what he said. He said, look, he said, the problem is they're making music for you and you won't dance. You won't sing. You won't get into it. You know, you won't enjoy that. He said, look, Jesus loved life. In fact, I remember him one time saying, Tony, he said, I've come that you might have life. And say it loud. And you might have it more abundantly. That means you might have it bigger, better, more fun, more enjoyable. And eventually, I'll teach you something through that. Eventually, we'll get to some spiritual truth that will really help you in your life. See, this is the way Jesus did things. He'd be talking about that. He'd be talking about food. He'd be talking about drink. He'd be talking about entertainment. He'd be talking about work and play. He'd be talking about mountains and trees and, yeah, yeah. He probably would make me talk about flowers. Just because Jesus was kind of, if you really read the Gospels, there were a lot of times when people he got irritated with, he would just dig at them. He'd poke at them a little bit. And that's probably what he would do to me. He'd say, Eric, sit down, we're going to talk about flowers. Oh, Jesus, not again. I don't mean that in a bad way. That sounded bad. So, he'd talk about flowers. He'd talk about books. He would talk about whatever you're interested in, Kim. He'd talk about grandkids. He'd say, Kim, show me your pictures. He would. He'd talk about poker. He'd talk about these things. He would talk about the things that people already knew. Where would he talk to them? Well, he'd talk to them at church, of course, but not just in here. He'd talk to them downstairs. He'd talk to them out front on the stairs. He'd head out just like I do every Sunday morning. He'd head out to Smoker's Row. I guess is what we're going to call that from now on. He'd be sitting out there just like I do. And he'd be talking. Because Jesus loved being around people. And he wanted to connect with people. Because like Kip often reminds us, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. He said, this is how I did it. You do it if that way if you think it better. I personally think that's best. I think the whole Connect Society is the best. He'd be meeting in homes and coffee shops and golf courses and parks and baseball fields and restaurants and pool rooms and theaters and all the places that God's people kind of like to meet up with each other. That's where he would be. Talking about the things that they care about. If he could, he knew, because here's the thing he knew, and I'm going to wrap this up. Here's the thing Jesus knew. He knew if he could connect with them in life, that he would eventually be able to connect with them about their eternal life. Amen. He also knew that he had their whole life ahead of them to sort of teach the sin out of them and change their bad habits. And make them feel, you know, make some changes in their lives to their betterment. And he was very patient with people. And so should we be. And we ought to be patient with ourselves. This is what Jesus would be doing. Now, you know, did they get it? You know, and when would he do it? You know, Sunday, yes. But Jesus would be talking to people on Sunday. He would also be talking to people on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and all different times during the day. And that's kind of where we're at. So, did they get it? Here, let me just share with you quickly, because there's some of you are going to go home today and you're going to say, man, Pastor only had a verse up there about poop today. So let me give you some additional scripture just so you don't think that I'm a heretic. His disciples got it. Check out Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, in Acts chapter 1, if you remember, Jesus went back to heaven. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, here's what it says. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all gathered. They were all together in unity, in one place. They were all together. You see that? They gathered together, just like this. That's right, Nick. All right, how about verse 46? And they continued daily. Wait. He didn't say weekly. He said daily. They continued. They were together with each other in the temple, but also sharing meals from house to house. And they ate together with gladness and singleness of heart. That means they were all together on it. They were unified. They enjoyed being together. And this was how he set it up. Where did we get to once a week, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, that's the only time we're together? When did that happen? Now look, I know life's busy. I get that. We're all busy. We all have lives. But this is not how Jesus set it up. And by the way, they had to make a living back then too. You know what they didn't have back then? TV. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have social media. They didn't have all this stuff to distract them from each other. So they found a way to be together. That's the point. How about, look at verse 47, as a matter of fact. Let me share that one with you too. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. Did you notice all the people? Not just the people in the church. They were out in the community. The people in the community liked them. I'll say that again. The people in the community liked them. The people in the community saw them as friendly people, loving people, people who cared, people who did some good work out in the community, people who were courteous to them, people who shared with them, people who, yes, invited them to church, but when they said no, they were still their friends. Still their friends. And they didn't hear, well, fine, go to hell anyway then. They didn't do that kind of stuff. They said, hey, man, that's okay. Why don't you come on over tomorrow for dinner? I got some friends coming over. We're going to play poker. Or we're going to play this. We're going to do this. We're going to just get together and talk. Why don't you come on over? We're going to have a softball game. Why don't you come on out? Why don't you play? You know, I love, Josh, that you invited people you worked with. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Josh invited people that he works with to be on our church softball team. Now, there are some places where there's some, you know, some stodgy, old, crotchety, nasty Christians. There are none of those here. But there are some places, Josh, where if that had been there, they'd have said, this is for our church only. Bring in those heathen. Don't bring in those people who, they're probably not even saved. Well, duh, you idiot. How do you think they're ever going to get that way? Amen. You see what I'm saying? I love that. I love it. And we have reached some people. Look, if we can reach Josh Najat, and take this the right way. No, seriously, take this the right way. There is no good way to take it, is there? All right, I'm just going to say it. But look, this is one of the... Josh, I consider you to be my friend. I mean, a close friend. And all this bunch. And wouldn't have that. We hadn't been open to letting somebody play on the softball team who's clearly a heathen. And wears it proudly. He took the mark a long time ago. No, I'm just kidding. Look, and I don't even know what church would be like without this little corner back here that we have. I'm serious. Look, here's how much I like them. And even John, I'm going to go up and watch a Cleveland Browns preseason football game with them. Because I want to see the Browns get whacked. Even if it's preseason, I still want to see them get whacked. No. No, you know what? I'm just looking forward to a two-hour drive up, a two-hour drive back, get some good pizza somewhere or something like that. And if you want to go, you let me know. If you want to be a part of that, you let me know. But, I'm looking forward because I like to connect. And I realized how Jesus said that was so important that you connect with people. Let me show you most of what the disciples did, and we're done. Most of what the apostles did after Jesus went back to heaven, we find them outside the church. Paul, for example, let me show you what place Paul went, and this is the last scripture, and we'll be done. Paul was writing, and he said, for all of the Athenians, so he was in Athens, and he said they had this thing where they would get together, and all they did all day long was talk about some new thing. They were like the National Enquirer kind of a crowd. They wanted to hear something. They wanted to hear all this new gossip and all this new thing. And some of it probably was science, and most of it was philosophy. So they thought themselves to be intellectuals. But here's what Paul said to them, but I want you to notice where he said it to them. So Paul went to Mars Hill, place that was kind of the Mecca for all the philosophers. So he went to Mars Hill, and he said, you men of Athens, he said, I can tell that you are too superstitious. But you know what? He was willing to talk to them about their superstitions. Do you know we have ghost hunters in our church? Again, you know, there's some places like, you're out of here. You know, we have people who love to go ghost hunting. We have people who believe in Bigfoot and want to go find him. And that's cool. Go for it. Because it's not really so much about that. It's about being together, connecting with people. So what we need around here is we need some innovators. See, the apostles connected with people. They learned from Jesus. They learned that what Jesus said was, we make our connections out here. And because we talk to people about their lives and what's important to them and what they enjoy talking about. And we learn to love people for who they are. Thank you, Eric. For who they are. And then we might be able to love them to Jesus. Because Jesus already loves them for who they are. Does he want to change them? Sure, he wants to change them, but he wants to change us too. And so we need some people that are innovators. We need somebody to take one of these things I've talked about today. You take something like that, and you say, you know what, I could do that. I could start a gaming group. I could do this. I can, and invite people in. Again, the idea isn't to get together and play cards just with church people. It's to bring other people in. And let them realize church people, actually, there's some church people that are kind of cool. Kind of friendly. And they're not going to beat me with the Bible. Until I ask. You mark my words. And they will ask. They will ask. There will come a day where they will say, you've convinced me that you like me. That you love me. Now tell me about this Jesus that you love so much. And that's how we're going to reach our community. That's how Jesus did it. So if he knew anything at all, then that's the right way. That's the right way. And I think more than ever in our society, that's the right way. So that begins with Kinexis. What interests you? What interests you? I want to prove to you how connected we all are. I'm going to do this, and we're going to have an invitation, and we're done. Where's John? I'll just start with you, John. Anybody else bowl a 300 game in the room? I didn't think so. Here, John, hold this, would you? Does anybody like to bowl, though? You like to bowl? Who likes to bowl? If you like to bowl, grab a hold. You guys, Chad, you're such a problem. Or was that Sherry? It was probably Sherry, wasn't it? All right, that's enough bowlers. Josh, you like video games? Who else likes video games? I'm heading back. If you like either one of those things, grab a hold. Dave likes motorcycles. Dave likes to ride. Anybody else like to ride? You like to ride motorcycle? You have a motorcycle, don't you? You do, don't you? Dirt bike's a motorcycle. Close enough. Gary, you ride a motorcycle?
I have.
You're way too old for that. You need to stop. You like to ride a motorcycle? Tana Fowler, you like to ride? Did anybody know Tana Fowler likes to ride a motorcycle? Would have never guessed that. You knew that? Julie, what do you like?
Motorcycles.
Besides that. Ken, you like to play cards, don't you? Let me through, would you? Ken likes to play cards. Anybody else like to play cards? That's enough of that. Darts. You like darts. They throw darts, right? Yeah. Sue, you throw darts. Anybody else like to throw darts? Anybody back here like to throw darts? Who likes to throw darts?
Games.
Games? Let's see what we got back here. We got a Guatemalan back here. Anybody like tacos? Matt likes photography. Matt, grab that, would you? Anybody else like photography? Anybody else want to take pictures? Harold, Harold, you've taken some pictures. Hang on, guys.
There you go.
Grab hold of that. All right, now watch. If you can see me, please look back here. Now watch. This right here, You see how connected everybody is? On three or four things. We are all connected. If we had continued this, everybody in this room would be connected to several other people. All we had to do is just come up with a few more things. But watch, Harold, would you go ahead and let go? And Eric, you go ahead and let go? That's all. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted right there. Now look, now watch. Now watch. Here, grab that, Tom. Everybody look back here, please. Pull it up. Now, do you see this? See, this needs to go out into our community. Because there's people out there that like photography and like to play poker, and they like to play euchre, and what are you doing? Why'd you get my screwdriver? Hey, there's people out in our community that like screwdrivers, if you know what I mean. Kind you get at the bar. So look, and my point is just this. There are things, thank you, brother, you don't know how much I appreciate that, with my knees. You can drop those. You can drop it if you want to. Here's my point. This is how we reach people. If you want to hear more about Connexus, come Wednesday night. Okay? It's just simply, we're going to talk about the things that connect us. Do you know veterans are connected to each other? People who are struggling with addictions are connected to each other. People who have hobbies are connected to each other. People who speak a different language are connected to each other. There's a lot of things that connect us with people.